What's up, everybody? We're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. The squad, we're back from Super Bowl. We're back from NBA All-Star Break. We didn't go, but we're just back in general.
I watched.
And we watched. So let's just talk about that right off the top. There is a lot to get to because there's so much going on in the association. Games and the quote-unquote second half of the year. I think there's about, what LeBron said, there's 23 games left for the Lakers. So it seems like teams are in that 24 game left in the regular season. Gets back underway Thursday and Friday. Teams are back in action. So a full slate over the weekend. Let's just talk about NBA All-Star Game, All-Star Weekend. It was in Salt Lake City. And it really wasn't that great. Like, nope. Mac McClung came out from the G League. We all remember him from YouTube back in the day. Bounced around Texas Tech, Georgetown.
From La Jolla.
He's been in the G League. And won the slam dunk contest, and it was awesome. I think we all kind of expected him to win, right? And he kind of put on a show, and that was kind of the story of the weekend. Tatum had 55 in the game itself, but there was very little defense played. Guys were just kind of going through the motions, and Team Giannis kind of ran away with it. What did you guys think of All-Star Weekend? Just general first impressions, Adam.
First of all, that's Adam, that's Chris, and I'm TJ, because we skipped that today.
Oh, I just went right into it. So you know what? I did what Rich does. Sometimes I just started the
we
show.
We just jump in.
TJ, Adam, Brockman, we're here. We're back.
You guys
back.
Know us. Come on.
You know us. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. All-Star Weekend. Go. Was it as bad as I'm making it out to be, TJ?
No. Because here's the deal, right? It's an exhibition. We all know that. And people constantly pine for the days of old. But guess what, man? Like, nothing, everything changes, and nothing is going to be as it once used to be. You know, I keep seeing people like, oh, they play defense, and Michael Jordan would have done this and that. But, like, we're not at those times anymore. So we can sit and constantly complain about how you don't like things the way they are, that you don't like that we're in the Instagram age, or you could just kind of accept the fact that this is where we're at right now. Like, I can remember being a kid and, you know, my grandpa yelling at me about the length of my pants or the music that I listened to. And I was just like, come on, man. Like, that's where we're at now. And I think now we just have to accept this is where we're at. Like, the Stars don't want to play, or the Stars do want to play in the All-Star game. They don't want to get in the dunk contest for a variety of reasons, none of which I understand, right? I don't get it. But guys don't want to play. They don't want to be shown up. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't feel it's worth their time. I don't understand it. Yeah. But that's just where we are now. As far as the game went, you know, look, man, there was a bunch of guys pulling up from 35, which was kind of exciting to see the fact that so many people can shoot from so deep. Nobody was playing defense, obviously, until, I guess, the fourth quarter when you can kind of win the game. It is what it is. And if you're upset and you don't like it, then I guess find something else to tune in and watch an All-Star Weekend. Yeah. Because when you look at it, though, stars still show up. The parties still happen. Everyone there seems to be enjoying themselves and having a good time. And, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam, the ratings were what? Like a third or
atrocious.
Down 30% from the year before. And, you know, it seems like people weren't really tuning in. But was All-Star Saturday kind of the high mark of the weekend, I guess, kind
of. Yeah, I guess. I mean, to be real, this is my suggestion to the NBA. The dunk contest has gotten to the point where back in the day, we watched the dunk contest for the stars. Right. You know, you had Dominique Wilkins, you had Kobe, Michael Jordan, and that doesn't happen anymore. These guys are role players, are barely in the league. Mac McClung just got signed to a two-way contract, and all of a sudden, he made more money from winning the dunk contest,
I saw that.
Then he's made in his entire pro career.
I saw that. He made $100K for winning the dunk contest. That's awesome.
It's great. I'm happy for him. I've been following him since high school. I've seen all the highlights. Yeah. But to me, this is what you do. If I'm Adam Silver, this is what I do. You have the dunk contest, but it doesn't necessarily have to have all NBA players. There are dunkers that you can see on Instagram on an everyday basis that are better dunkers than these guys in the NBA now. And you could say, well, it's an NBA dunk contest. Well, there's a celeb game also. It's not all NBA people that are involved in the All-Star weekend. True. So I see some of these guys on Instagram, and they're going to be hungry to get that spotlight. They're going to be hungry to get that money. So I think you could mix it up, maybe do half NBA players, half, you know, amateur guys that are just pro dunkers. And I think that could really elevate the interest in the dunk contest, because some of these guys, like I've said, are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
As far as the NBA All-Star game itself, the suggestion I have is right now the players of the winning team get $100,000 each. If you really want them to care, these guys are making $30, $40 million a year. Right. You have to raise the stakes.
We're going to make it $1 million per guy?
Yeah, you have to make $500,000, $750,000. Make it $1 million. You make it $1 million. Do you know how the ratings will increase on that? Because people will try way harder, and the fans are way more interested in saying, this guy can win $1 million if they win the All-Star game. They have to raise it. They have enough money to do it. The problem is if they don't do that, players are going to care less and less, and the ratings are going to suffer more and more to the point it's going to become the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so, yeah, I wonder.
Those are my suggestions.
But $1 million when you're making 50, what's, I mean.
That's a lot, though. That's still a lot of money.
That's not going to.
I mean, it's still incentivizing.
It's a lot of money in theory, but like if my check is $50 million, I don't, like you're gonna have to. I don't know. I don't think that's enough to really get these guys.
I thought it was cool
that
the dunk contest kind of got some of the shine back. You know, it's been about what? What was the year of? Was it 2015? Was Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine? That was kind of the peak after that.
That was the last great one, yeah.
But the three-point shootout has kind of been the marquee event. And, like, that had the bigger stars this year. Your Dame, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, the stars came out for that.
Buddy Hill. Stars came out for that. And it was kind of a womp-womp. Kevin Herter was so bad at it. And Tyrese Halliburton kind of stunk him in the finals. But it was cool to see Dame win. But, I mean, look, Matt McClung, good for him. It was awesome. The game itself, I just don't know what the fix is. You know, the Elam ending, I thought, was going to kind of change that.
It was cool.
And kind of make it a little more competitive.
It was cool the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was good. And the
players were trying.
I love the draft idea. The concept of, like, drafting guys before the game I thought was cool. It just kind of fell flat. Guys kind of just had, like, a wink-wink agreement that nobody was going to really play any defense. And it was just a lot of guys going through the motions. TJ, what do you think of the idea that I saw thrown out that they should just change it to a one-on-one tournament?
See, the problem with that is one-on-one ball can be kind of boring.
Agreed.
Right? And then basically, like, I was John Sally, who hosted our show earlier this week. I wish I would have seen this when he was here. He, and this was an old story he told on Best Damn Sports Show, how, like, he used to always beat, of all people, Kobe Bryant one-on-one.
Oh, really?
And Kobe, like, begrudgingly admitted it, that John Sally always beat him in a one-on-one. And Sally's, the way he did it was, he was like, look, I was the older guy. I got the ball first every time. So every play, I just back him down. I'd score, and then he could do whatever, and I'm just going to keep backing him down and scoring. So, and on a one-on-one, it's, you know, if a big guy can take three or four dribbles, that's really all he needs to do is just go down low, post somebody up, and score on him.
How do you stop Giannis? Yeah, like from winning that every
year. So I don't know if one-on-one's the thing, but you know, also the thing we always talk about, like the slam dunk contest participants, right? And yeah, you get your big stars, but guess what? Back in the day, there were guys like Shelton Jones and Tim Perry and Terrence Stansberry, who was a staple.
Stansberry,
who had what he did to flip dunk.
Yeah,
so there's always going to be guys who aren't stars in these contests. Like, you're going to have a star or two, but I'm looking over these rosters over the years, and it's like, yeah, for every, you know, Clyde Drexler or Ron Harper, you know, there's a, you know, an OG Jerome Kersey in there who, like, great Jerome player, Kersey. But he's not. Kersey was a great dunker.
Even most casual NBA fans wouldn't even know who they were. It really got, like, the contestants this year was the worst contestants in terms of players I've ever seen.
I'd never heard of the Knicks guy, to be honest.
Neither did I.
Yeah, but did you hear about the guys last year? It was the Simmons kid from Portland. Yeah. And so, yeah,
not really. I mean,
you know, we don't really.
But that's why the three-point shootout had kind of overtaken it.
It did overtake
kind
it.
Of the,
mm-hmm.
the and also,
Adam,
event.
Sorry, Chris. Adam, your point about bringing in non-players, that's not going to work either, because a guy in the NBA is not going to want to lose a dunk contest or right. any type of basketball contest to a guy who's not even in the league.
Like a YouTuber. I'm not
yeah, so
a YouTuber.
I think that would...
You really think that they would care
yes,
that much?
Yes, Adam, yes. Why do you think... It's ego. It's 1,000%. Yeah. You're not going to want to... You're an NBA player and you're going to lose a dunk contest to a cat who ain't even in the L? Like,
yeah, but I think there's NBA players who understand that they're obviously a better player than a dunker, but they might not be the better dunker, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, until okay, you're right, and then they go on Twitter and they're getting roasted.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the only thing I can think of that could be a solution, right, guys? Because one guy in particular, Chris Brockman, who's been the MVP of your fantasy basketball season the last month?
MVP of my fantasy,
your fantasy
season?
Basketball
my,
team,
my personal,
your
basketball?
Personal team, your fantasy in our league.
Oh,
who's been the MVP? Let's think about a few weeks ago, who was setting your team on fire?
Cam Thomas.
Okay. My point being, there are so many Cam Thomases in this league,
right?
Guys who are stuck 8, 9, 10, 11 on the bench, sure, right? Who could probably go out. Now, Cam Thomas, he went crazy scoring 40 points a game.
Three straight 40.
But there are definitely guys in the NBA who are so hungry, who could play basketball, but for whatever reason, can't get in the rotation. But, man, if you gave them a chance, they would leave it all on the floor. So I don't know if that's it. If you go to these Cam Thomas-type players who aren't necessarily getting a lot of minutes, but you know they can ball, you know they're hungry, and you find a way to put them into something like this where it does mean something to them, where they are going to go all out, where, Adam, that $1 million, now that does make a difference in their bank account. If they can find a way to incorporate guys like that into this game, that could be a way that we could change this up and have it a little bit more meaningful.
Like the bench player all-star game? It's like you can't be a starter?
Maybe something to that effect. I mean, now I don't know if it's going to hurt eyeballs, but you just got done saying viewership was down anyway, and viewership is constantly and consistently down on every and anything. So why not, man? Maybe you do find a way to kind of reward some of these guys who, like, just need a chance, just need a shot to go out there and show what they can do. Because two months ago, we never heard of Cam Thomas. We didn't know anything about this dude.
No, absolutely not.
And now we know that this is a guy who's capable of probably being, obviously he's not capable of scoring 40 every night, even though he did for a stretch. It's a guy who's capable of probably putting up 20 a game, you know, 18, 19, 20, if he were just given a chance, if he was given some minutes. I don't know if that's the answer or not.
All right, and the last thing, too, on this. I heard Amino Hassan say this on Le Batard yesterday. He said, do you think the reason maybe some of the guys weren't going all out is they were kind of silently protesting for having to go to Utah?
No.
Like,
no.
If you look at some of the all-star game venues the last couple of years, Cleveland, Utah, they're going to Indiana next year, Charlotte. And then you look, we just come off a Super Bowl run of Miami, Phoenix, going to Vegas next year, New Orleans.
That's an interesting.
Like, NFL does it right. They go to these big, warm, party cities. NBA All-Star Weekend, the celebration of the NBA that year. Utah, Cleveland, Indiana.
I mean, look, these are NBA cities, and you got to. I would think that couldn't or shouldn't have been a silent protest because, look, there's only so many LAs, Miami, New York,
Chicago.
So
why shouldn't that be the rotation?
So just those four cities?
No, I'm just saying, just have the rotation in, you know, the fun cities for the All-Star. If it's a celebration of your sport for that season, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't do a big event location like the Super Bowl. They, you know, go the final cities back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like a blowout week like Super Bowl is, because the Super Bowl is one game. Obviously, the NBA Finals could be seven games.
The NBA owners will never allow that to happen, though, because they make so much money.
Yeah.
They?
You got to think about the city, money. Yeah. Adam's right. The money that the city gets that brings it. So I don't really think there's anything you can do about that, because Utah probably needed that. I don't know how. I'm just saying, it didn't hurt that influx of money that came in. I would just say that Utah, there's probably
NBA
a bunch
All-Star
of...
weekend is called the Black Super Bowl.
It is.
Right?
And I didn't want to say this, but you went and said it.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes I allow you to say things because people would be like, of course he said that. So you said it. So I'll say this. There's probably a bunch of brothers who had never been to Sundance, right? So didn't know what was waiting for them in Utah. The cold, the fact that you get to the club, it's a dry state. And if they do have liquor, what they do is, now I haven't been to Sundance in probably 10 years.
So what I was hearing was that you can't, there's
they put bottles in cages, bro.
Yes.
They
make you show your ID for every single drink you get.
Well, we didn't have to
you
do that.
You can't get doubles.
But you know what Salt Lake City has? It has hot white women. So they should enjoy that. Trust me, I was there in September. I know.
This
it's
is
a
true.
Fantastic place.
But the fact is, you're in the club, you've got a bottle, it's in a locked cage,
right,
and you've got to get the server to come over. Unlock the. You can't
pour yourself.
So you just spent like three G's on a bottle of Remy or something. Probably Remy's probably more than three G's, and you can't access it yourself because it's in a cage.
Last
Adam.
Call.
Like literally, there's a cage.
You have one of the hot bottle service waitresses do it for you.
Last call.
well,
1 o'clock.
Let them do
1 o'clock. What NBA player you know goes to bed at 1 o'clock?
So no, none of them probably.
Zero.
So, look, I mean, Utah.
Silent protest of having to be in Utah for 4 days.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know. That's interesting. It really is.
I'm just throwing it out there. Let me put it out. Go the way of the NFL. Just fun cities.
Just fun. Just five city tour. That's
what,
it.
Miami, New York.
Atlanta, just New York, LA, Chicago.
Hit the South run. Hit all those southern fun cities. Know, Phoenix, that's it. Like,
Houston, Houston would be great.
Houston.
Oh, yeah. Houston. I mean, Houston was the place. I caught a case.
Yeah. All right. It's like that Drake song, Houston, Miami, Vegas, whatever it's called. Anyway.
That's the run, I'm telling you. All right.
That's interesting. I don't think that's going to change anything. I don't think John Morant would have went, well, had the All-Star game been in Atlanta, I would have dunked, but now it's in Utah, I won't.
If it's in Atlanta, you put the wings like on the top of the backboard, and the dude jumps up, grabs a wing, eats it while he dunks.
Oh, here's a dunk I just came up with. You put a check for $500,000 in an envelope.
And if someone can grab
and
it?
And whoever, you raise the rim to 11 feet, and you put the check right next there, and whoever can go up and dunk and grab the check gets the 500 grand. Think about that. I mean, now, guess what? Now I might jump.
Now everyone's in the dunk contest. Now I might. Suddenly the dunk, they're turning people away now.
Because because now it gives you something like, I know I said before a million wasn't enough incentive, but this is something a little different. Like, all right, let me just go out here and show and prove one time real quick. You know, go here and snatch this envelope.
Jericho Sims, though, he did, his face was like all the way above the rim. That was pretty impressive. Even though his dunks were really stupid.
Yeah.
As someone who's never touched the rim in his life.
But, you know, but then they also had, like, you know, the skills contest, and I watched that, and that was interesting, you know, like.
But Giannis's brothers, also, you know what I noticed in the skill competition? Mm-hmm. Remember in the past, they would have to do the chest pass, right? And the hoop, then the circle would be
about
this
big. It was so big, man.
Now it was like those kids throwing the footballs through the Dr. Pepper thing at the national championship.
That was my one thing I was going to say. Make it smaller, bro. Like, Ray Charles could have thrown the ball through that hoop. Jeez. Like, come on. Like, they could definitely make it a little more challenging. There is something there, but you're dribbling through, like, just a stanchion. Like, also, what if you put a player there? And now he's
trying
to rip
to
you.
Steal it?
Now you got to, like, now you got a dude there who's trying to rip the ball from you. Get
also,
by
also, like, Jordan Clarkson literally went in slow motion. He just, like, wasn't trying.
He wasn't trying to pull.
You're right, TJ. You could have, like, a celebrity or somebody like that that's trying to, like,
have
steal
Kevin
the ball
Hart there.
Yeah.
Have now, Kevin Hart trying to steal the ball.
Trying to steal the ball from you. But you're right. Chris, the hole was huge.
It was gigantic.
Make it a little bit tougher. Precision pass to get through.
But they used to have to do that. You'd have to do a bounce pass and a chest pass. And it was, like, you know, maybe 2 feet wide.
So, yeah. So there's ways. They're on something there. The 3-point shootout, that was Dame, you know, and that was great to see.
It was nice.
Him come Dame out. Nice. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, man? These guys.
And that concludes our NBA All-Star Weekend coverage here on the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast.
I wish we had more for you. But
all right, we're entering the home stretch. Like I said, Denver and Boston are your one seeds right now. Just a game apart. Boston 42-17. They're half game up in Milwaukee, 41-17. Denver 41-18. Your three teams with 40-plus wins. How about this? If I give you one of those three teams or the field to win the title, who do you take?
So you said Denver?
I'll give you the three best teams in the league right now.
Boston.
Are Boston, Milwaukee, and Denver.
Oof.
If I give you those three or the field, who do you take to win the title right now on February 21st?
I'm taking one of those teams. I'm not going with the field. Right now, Milwaukee has won 12 straight games. They are on fire.
Fire.
They're on fire. They're looking great. They're healthy.
Giannis's wrist that, you know, kind of caused him to only play a minute in the All-Star game. Not as bad as first thought. Sham said just a sprain.
Yeah, so that they avoided disaster there. Yep. To me right now, Milwaukee looks like the favorite. They're unbelievable. Once the playoffs start, the matchup between them and Boston, that's going to be an amazing potential Eastern Conference Finals championship right there. You have two MVP candidates in Tatum and Giannis, and you have great supporting players, Jaylen Brown and then Holiday. So that's going to be a seven-game type of series in the East, and I look forward to that. But right now I have Milwaukee.
And TJ, you know, I give you the field that includes your Philadelphia 76ers, your LA Clippers, new look. The new look Phoenix Suns. We're going to see Kevin Durant soon. We haven't really been able to talk about that yet.
Ooh. I'll take the field on.
We
that
got the
one,
new
man.
Look Dallas Mavericks.
Oh man, that's tough though.
I forgot about the Suns.
Denver. Oh. I'll take the field. Sure. I don't know about the Suns, though, right? Because much like we talked about this on the show the other day, much like the Sixers when they got James Harden last year, now you're going to get Durant in, right? Let's just say this team might have 20 games together to gel and mesh. No, it's one thing. Yeah, you know Booker, Durant, they're going to be able to score, right?
Yep.
But basketball is so much more than that, as we all know. And it's, you know, the other day, John Sally was talking about, remember he said about hanging out with your teammates and getting to know them, which would help you understand them more on the court, right? So it's like, if I'm playing with a guy long enough and I know, like, all right, this is something that a deficiency in his game, or he's not good on the pick and roll, then that might cause me to step up and kind of, you know, compensate for the fact that I know where his weakness is. Are these guys going to have enough time defensively mm-hmm. to kind of figure out, you know, rotations and like, okay, I know where he wants the ball, or this is, you know what I mean? It's just like, there's a lot that goes on. It's not just roll the ball out there and shoot. You got to play on the defensive side. Yep. You have to have some type of cohesion with your teammate. Is 20 games enough? Because, you know, you can put Durant out there. He can get 50 whenever he feels like it.
But we talked about this last year. This was actually the same conversation, TJ, Adam, that we had as a group last year when Philadelphia acquired James Harden.
That's what I'm saying.
You said, look, 25 games, is that going to be enough? Can they do it in the playoffs? Ultimately, James Harden got hurt again in the postseason, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to gel. So can Kevin Durant and Booker and Chris Paul – man, that's a really good big three, man. They're now the second betting favorites. Boston's still the betting favorite. I think they're plus 350. Phoenix number two, plus 425. But they're now the favorites to win the West from the five slot. 9.5 games back at Denver. They're a half game behind the Clippers. They're a game and a half behind Sacramento, but you know, the biggest surprise team in the NBA this year. Do you think Phoenix can catch Memphis for the two seed? 4.5 games behind Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, Memphis, I hate to say this, I love watching Ja play. Jaren Jackson is the best defensive player in the league this year.
Seems like a big butt's coming.
But they're a fraud this year. They're a fraud team.
Why?
I just don't believe in them. I don't believe that they have enough experience yet. I think they need to go through another couple years before they're truly, truly ready. I don't see them beating a Phoenix or Denver, or even a Clippers. They have a lot of young talent. I'm not saying that this team is done forever. They could win the West in a couple of years. To me, they're just not ready right now. And so that's why I just don't. They can be a second round team. I just don't see them representing the West.
You think it's Denver's time? Have they finally gone through the crucible? They're all healthy. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. is back.
It feels like this is a.
They made some moves at the deadline. I mean, Joker, he's a massive favorite to win his third straight MVP.
Yeah, he's triple double this year.
That is just. Joker winning three MVPs in a row. So you're going to tell me, like, Larry Bird won three MVPs in a row and Wilt won three MVPs in a row. I just feel like Embiid, the disrespect. When Giannis won his MVPs, there were people like, he can't win again, even though his stats were better than when he won. And yet we're going to keep giving Jokic, look, the guy's great, though. So I don't hate it that much. But I'm just so team Embiid. And when you watch when those two played each other this year, Embiid had like 45.
Oh, he was trying to make a statement for sure.
He definitely tried to, and he did make a statement. But Adam, getting back, you know, the Grizzlies, this is going to be their third season in a row in the postseason, man. So it's like they've got that experience. They've been there for two seasons, and now it's three seasons. And, you know, I don't know that I believe that they can win, but I feel like they've put enough time in the playoffs to be like, all right, this is a seasoned team, especially considering what they've been there the last two seasons.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. What round did they lose in last year? So they lost in the conference semifinals. Yeah. So this is year what? Year four under Taylor Jenkins, probably the best coach nobody really knows or could, you know, pick out of a lineup. But they were 34-39. In 1920, they missed the playoffs.
In 2020, too.
Yeah, in 2020. And then the 2 years ago, they lose in the first round.
Yeah, they only went five games.
And then last year, they made it to the semis, so they won a playoff series.
Yeah, well, they played 12 games in the postseason.
And now this year, two seed, winning their division, Can they make a run to the Western Conference Finals? I mean, I think if it's, man, how great would a Western Conference Finals of Memphis and Phoenix be?
Oh, it would be explosive. Just 120 to 130.
Like massive scoring games, probably 250 total points, seven-game series.
And Memphis is clearly the younger, more athletic team with that. But the fall-off between Ja to Jaren Jackson, you know, Jaren Jackson, like I said, he is arguably the best defender in the league. But in terms of a second star, when you have KD as your number one star and then your second guy is Devin Booker, that's a huge, huge difference between Devin Booker and Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, so you're saying the
drop. You're skipping Desmond Bane. Yeah, he's averaging 22. Yeah.
He's a very good player. Also, I'm saying Memphis and Dillon, they have a good team.
Yeah.
But then you also have another Hall of Famer who's desperate for a championship who will do whatever it takes in Chris Paul. This is a make or break year, it feels like, for Phoenix. Maybe they have one more year after this with Durant in terms of Chris Paul getting older. This really, they have to seize their opportunity right now. And like you said, TJ, there's not a lot of time for them to gel, but they need to figure it out quick because this could be it for them.
Can the Clippers make a run, TJ? Big move of the week. They get Russell Westbrook, who was traded in Utah on the three-teamer, but obviously bought out. He stays in L.A., but switches locker rooms to the Clippers. Is that enough? You feel good as a four seed right now?
You know, right now the Clippers are probably 11 players deep. Right,
with real deep team.
Real deep. Now, obviously, come
Kawhi's been awesome the last month.
Yeah. Now, come postseason, obviously that rotation's going to get tightened down to probably like eight guys. So, but when you look at it, like they got a good backup big man in Plumlee,
who's been playing really nice.
He's been playing really well. Yeah. I liked the Bones Highland edition, but now you got Russ, right? So you look at Russ, and this is kind of causing a lot of people to kind of question what's going on. But you pointed this out about 2 months ago, Chris. Russ is the sixth man coming off the bench, was playing pretty well for the Lakers.
I was kind of shocked the Lakers just gave up on him.
So, yeah, so when you talk about him, he's averaging, what, 15, 16, like six assists, seven.
It was like 16, six, seven and board. Six. Yeah. He was like playing really well with the second unit.
I think he was having some arguments with Ham, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That could have been it. So I don't know. Is Russ going to come in and start? Is he going to be on the second team? I don't know any of these answers yet, but I'm going to be very interested to see what happens. But, you know, one thing the Clippers don't have amidst all of that talent is they don't really have, like, a fiery figure in that locker room. Like, Kawhi, of course, you know, he's a leader, but he's not going to be a vocal leader. I'm not sure where Paul is when it comes to being a vocal leader. But, you know, Russ is going to come in there, and since we're on our podcast and not Roku, I can finally swear, you know, Russ is going to get in someone's ass, you know? And so, pause. So I kind of feel like, you know, this could be a good thing. Paul George statistically had his best season playing with Russell Westbrook. So we're going to see. We're going to see if this reignites Russ, if he plays to his strengths. Because if Russ is going to sit out and try to shoot a bunch of three-pointers, and guys, this isn't going to work. If Russ is going to, like, just break cats down and get to the rim and then go to the foul line, if he's going to get to the hole and then dish out to some shooters, this could work. Clipper fans right now, I think, are about 60-40 in favor. There's a lot who are down on this move. I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm willing to see. I think the benefits are going to outweigh the negatives.
Can he do what you thought John Wall was going to do with the second unit?
True.
And it just didn't work out for one reason or another.
And then for John Wall to end up back in Houston, how weird was that?
But a lot of teams had the homecomings. Like, D'Angelo Russell's back.
Yeah, D'Angelo's
like,
back.
That's crazy.
Eric Gordon for the Clippers.
Eric Gordon's back.
And there's another guy we missed. You know, you got a seasoned vet, a guy who was an original Clipper.
Shoot threes.
Who, you know, unfortunately we had to get rid of when we brought Chris Paul in, and now he came back home. So you got a vet in Eric Gordon, who's a sniper, who losing Luke Kennard I wasn't happy with, but then we got Gordon. I was like, okay, now we got this guy. Ty Lue has a very important job, man. He's going to have to, as you know, I always love to say, you know, chemistry-wise, and he's going to have an interesting time, like, kind of molding this team together and finding that right chemistry. But I think he can do it, and I think the players are there to do it.
I like the Clippers' versatility. They have a bunch of guys that are between, like, 6'5 and 6'10 that can play
multiple positions,
can shoot, and can defend really well. The key to this team is that there's not really a pure point guard with the team. There's not, you know, Russell Westbrook obviously is a Hall of Famer. He's not really a pure point guard.
But when
though.
It comes down to it, Kawhi is going to have the ball in his hand, and I'm and so perfectly Paul. Yeah, and Paul.
It's
so
not, it's not like Chris Paul, like you know, the prototypical point.
We don't have. You're right, Adam, and that's the thing. We don't have that PG, but like I'm fully confident. If Kawhi Leonard has the ball in his hands.
All right. Sorry to interrupt, but I was saying, I really like the signing of Plumlee, though, in terms of a backup for Zubac, because Zubac can get tired. I really like Zubac's play, but Plumlee can provide really good defense and just a solid backup center for him deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that way we keep Mo Morris from having to play center because he can still play the four. Yeah. Morris doesn't get a lot of credit, man, because he's a big man who can shoot.
Yeah.
He can stretch the floor, you know.
I love him in Boston. And we haven't even talked about Dallas, guys. Kyrie Irving he's out. He goes to Dallas. Isn't it crazy? What is going on with the Mavericks? Do you believe in them? Do you believe this is going to work? Kyrie and Luka?
I believe it can work to a degree. I don't believe that this is a championship squad.
Are they going to win a playoff series?
But can I give you guys like a thought?
Yep.
Okay.
We're literally on a podcast.
LeBron James.
All kinds of thoughts.
How much time does he have left with the Lakers contractually?
I think next year is his final year.
Right? Okay. LeBron loves Kyrie.
He does.
And LeBron loves Luka.
Yeah, but LeBron wants to play with his son.
There's no chance of those two coming to L.A. Maybe. What if LeBron decides to go join up with Mark Cuban in a year and go join Dallas so he can play with those two guys? Because he's not locked in L.A., as we know. He can seemingly go where he wants for the next 2 years until Bronny gets to the league.
Well, I was thinking more of the opposite, where they'd figure out how to get Kyrie to the Lakers next year because he's a free agent.
That's the easy thing to say. Like, let's get LeBron over to Dallas.
Unless
LeBron, Luka, and Kyrie all on Dallas?
I'm just saying. It was something I was thinking about during with the picking of the All-Star rosters and knowing how LeBron, you know, LeBron tried to sign Luka to his shoe.
But as much as LeBron wants to win another championship, if his son Bronny is about to be drafted, he is going to go wherever Bronny goes.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not going to sign a long-term deal. You're going to get LeBron to maybe a 1 or 2 year deal right now.
It's just one. He's just going to buy me. By the time Bronny gets drafted, LeBron will be 40. So it's just going to be 1 year spots. I mean, ESPN had Bronny number 10 today to Orlando.
Yeah, in the 2024 mock draft.
Yeah, he's.
But then you think about what Orlando could look like then. You're like, whoa, LeBron?
Paolo?
Mm-hmm. Wendell Carter? Like, Fultz?
Wagner?
Franz Wagner's nice.
Yeah, but if those guys turn out, then they're not going to get the 10th spot. Right, they're going to be a little bit better than that. So, but yeah, I think we're all kind of reside in the fact that if and when Bronny gets drafted, his dad is going to try to join him. And how would you feel about that? Like, you finally get your freedom, right? You lived under someone else's rule for 18 years and you feel good. And then you get to go out and do your own thing. And now you got your pops watching over you, kind of telling you what to do again. Does Bronny want that?
I think it would be super cool.
It would be dope. Cool. It would be so dope.
It would be so cool. That's definitely like Griffey Jr. and Griffey Sr.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it back-to-back home runs once. So we're good on that. Are they going to win? Is Dallas going to win a playoff series?
The Mavericks are a team to me that I could see getting swept in the first round or like taking it to 7 games in the Western Conference Finals. I just don't know what to think about this.
But we all
right
expect
now.
Sacramento to fall off, right?
Yeah, they're not.
I don't know.
And then
though.
So the Clippers and Suns, we expect to move up, and then Dallas maybe. So Sacramento goes down to number 6, something like that.
Well, Sacramento might not fall in the regular season, but they. To me, they're they won't win a series in the playoffs.
So let's say the West just holds how it is, right? So
yeah, let's look at it.
Pelicans are 7, T-Wolves 8, Warriors 9, Thunder 10. Let's just say all of this holds, okay? So Pelicans take out Thunder, so it's just 1 through 8. So Denver beats Minnesota, Grizzlies beat Pelicans, and if you get Sacramento versus Dallas. We like Dallas and 7?
I'm going Dallas, yeah.
Dallas and 7 there?
You have to go Dallas. They have the two best players.
And then Clippers-Phoenix. What an awesome first round series.
Man, I don't want that to last. Something's got to give there, man. You got to move
up. I'm just saying the West is going to be awesome, whereas the East is kind of a three-team race.
Yeah. It's way less competitive.
The East has way less drama. It's just like, let's get to the finals, and it's either going to be
one of three teams.
Yeah, it's
going to
be one
right
of three teams who advances. And by the way, you can make a really strong case for all three teams. To win the title, I mean, whoever comes out of the East, you can make a case, is going to win the championship.
Yeah.
They're the three strongest teams, in my opinion, outside of Phoenix, which we don't know what it's exactly going to look like. The Phoenix right now is all hype and speculation just because they got Kevin Durant. We know what he is. Let's just throw him in there.
But let's just be honest with ourselves, though, based upon what they've done the previous three or four seasons.
They've blown it.
They've blown it, but they never had Kevin Durant. But guess what? You're up two in the finals.
They're not going to lose Kevin Durant.
You're not losing. So,
Giannis did take over.
He was a bad boy.
I will say with the Suns, though, it will be interesting to see how Devin Booker plays because
he's been out for a long time.
But, and when he's back, he's always been the guy, the scorer on the team. He's the number one option. So now he's going to have to defer to Kevin Durant and be the number two guy. So it might take him a little bit to adjust to not being the guy right now.
Well, I would, if I could give Devin Booker just one piece of advice, it would be this. Your ego, in this case, is not your ego.
Check it, bro. Yeah.
Check your ego. You're still going to get yours. Mm-hmm. But you got Kevin Durant. I mean, you know who he is. Kevin Durant.
You know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant.
You know who he is. So come on. You know, Phoenix is going to be fun. I would hate for the Clippers to have to face them in round one. I don't want that. I don't want any
By the way, that happens, we got to go to one of those games.
Oh, that's mandatory.
Oh, for sure.
That's mandatory.
All right. So you like Milwaukee. You're like the field.
I'm taking the field, yeah.
But are you going to pick a specific team in the field?
Well, that wasn't part of the equation, Chris.
I know, but I'm changing the rules. I'm moving the goalposts.
One team out of the field?
I'm still going to take Boston, obviously.
I'm going to – give me the Sixers.
You going to do it? Sixers? Yeah. Embiid, I am with you on Embiid for MVP, though. And I also think, look, if Philly somehow overtakes Milwaukee and Boston as number one in the East, I think Embiid will win MVP. I think they're going to reward him.
He really deserves it.
He's been awesome.
He's been awesome the last few years.
He has been. He's done the thing that we've been talking about, too, is – it's kind of like Tatum. He has improved when you didn't think he could improve. He's not shooting as many bad three-pointers like we talked about. And in games where you want him to take over, he has taken over. The game you just mentioned a couple weeks ago against Denver, this is my statement game, and he throws a 40-piece on Joker. And it's like, that's the thing as a fan, even though I'm not a Sixers fan, but as a basketball fan, you want to see these guys make that improvement and take those leaps and reach their full potential, and Embiid is getting there, and it's really awesome to see.
And Harden's having a great year also.
We can't Super quiet. We're not even talking about him. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you want to make the point that Harden is maybe the third best player on the team after Maxey, then I tell you what, if you're going to tell me James Harden is my third best player, then I really like my team's chances. And I'm just saying, specifically, this is my team, but anyone's team. If you're going to tell me James Harden is your third best player, man, you got to like.
Is James Harden leading the league in assists this year?
He is.
10.8.
11 a game, 10.8.
Wow.
Sneaky good season.
Sneaky good season.
You're just not really here. Yeah, because you mentioned something about him the other day, and I was like, well, man, you're not really paying attention.
I guess I haven't been watching.
Yeah, he's 21 and 11 on the season right now. So
that's really nice. He's kind of sacrificed ego and his stats, you know, for the good of the team. And it's kind of what, when the trade was happening last year, that we had talked about. Like, is it enough time to gel? Mm-hmm. Well, he had the rest of last season,
and
playoffs.
Now he's got this.
Off season.
And remember, we saw him in the off season, how he was, before it was like he wasn't working out, this off season, he was putting in work, man. You look great.
Well, the birthday party video that went viral when he threw the cake off the boat.
That was unnecessary because there were other people there that could have enjoyed that cake.
The pastry chef spent hours and hours.
It was like a four foot cake.
That wasn't cool. That was not cool, though. I'd have been there like, I wanted some cake. You know, I love sweets.
Yeah. He's making a statement, though.
Sixers over who in the finals?
Well, you know, just to take it back to the days of old with the birthday of my GOAT, my personal GOAT, I want to see the Sixers Celtics. That's basketball.
What about in the finals?
In the final? Well, you know, for the last 25 years, 26 years, I've been just pounding the table Clippers, on a Clipper. Sixers, one day, man.
But do you root for?
I root for good basketball.
Seven game series.
Like I pretty much hit every Clippers Sixer game here in town. And my boy Riley, that I've been going to games with for 20 years, he just kind of laughs at me because I do a whole lot of applauding. And then I just yell when someone's playing bad defense, even though the other. So it's like, it is weird. It's just a weird thing. I'm able to watch basketball and just simply enjoy these two teams. I don't know what would happen. I just probably sit back and know that, much like LeVar Ball, even when I lose, I'd win.
Adam, Bucks over who? We got a rematch? Bucks Suns? Or you see somebody else coming out? I'm rooting. I think Celtics Suns is going to be a fun finals. I think that's.
I really want the Clippers to get there. And I really believe that they do have a chance.
You should now because you're buddies with Eric Gordon.
Yeah, and I really believe that
and
they
can get his free tickets. That happens.
That's a little tougher.
I don't know about that. But I do believe the Clippers have a legit chance. But if I'm putting my money on it, I'm going the Suns. I'm going with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Devin Booker. And I'm going with a desperate Chris Paul.
But you picked Milwaukee to beat him.
I still think Milwaukee wins though. I just think they're that much of a better team.
Healthy Milwaukee is pretty scary. You know, Middleton didn't play last year, obviously. Yeah. So in the playoffs, but
yeah, that's the other thing.
I know.
No Middleton.
Love to see
they're so good.
KD and Giannis against each other in a finals. Oh, that would be fun. I mean, KD took him to the limit a couple years ago when he had that shot where his little toe was on the line.
Yeah.
So seeing a rematch of those guys playing against each other would just be so fun to
watch. I think no matter what happens, we can kind of all agree the basketball fans are going to be the biggest winners. I mean, this playoffs is shaping up to be maybe the most incredible NBA playoffs, you know, two-month stretch that we've maybe ever seen.
It's amazing because the last, you know, the super teams, there was – you know, a couple really good teams and the rest of the teams kind of were terrible. There's so much parity this year, though. It's going to be amazing.
I mean, you could make a strong case for five teams in the West could win it and three. And I mean, so that's eight teams. Obviously, I'm discounting Sacramento, but that's eight teams. You could make a strong case and a really good argument that can win the title, which when was the last time that's happened?
Who's your eighth? You counting Dallas in it?
I'm counting Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm counting Dallas.
I just say this. For everyone who was down on All-Star Weekend and maybe the game, I feel like your thoughts are going to be changed completely once these playoffs get started and these guys really start the ball. Because guess what? They're not going to be letting guys shoot from 40. All right. They're not just going to Olaying guys going down the hole to dunk. Like, that's when these guys are going to start playing. And I think playoffs, like you guys said, playoff season this year is going to be
and all eight of these teams have two superstars, and you can make a case for a big three.
Yeah.
Which is why they're, you know, top contenders.
But guys, let's not forget the most important thing that must be done this playoff season is that Rich Eisen simply cannot go back-to-back in our fantasy basketball. By any means necessary, the man must be stopped, even if we have to collude.
We have to collude.
Well, here's the thing. The trade deadline is literally tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
So if we're going to collude, we got to do it right now.
Whoever's
right
in last
now,
place.
Right now, I was going to say, whoever in second. Right now, my team has the best chance.
You're in second, so who do you want? Let's make a move. Like, let's trade you all of our good players so you can beat this guy.
I don't want Adam to win either, though.
What?
I want me to win.
That's true. I don't want Adam.
Come on. I've never won before.
That's true.
That's true.
You know what it is?
ABR.
This is like a 2020 elections thing. It's anybody but rich.
ABR.
Anybody but rich. We can't have it.
Can't have it. You guys don't understand. It's appalling.
Somebody.
Let Cooper win.
I'd rather.
I don't want to lose to an 11-year-old.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. I can't do that either. So.
All right. Basketball is back, people. Enjoy it. It's going to be an awesome last month or so of the season, and then the playoffs are just going to be, as Rich would say, as the kids say, lit. And it's going to be sick. So enjoy it. We're going to be back here every week, pretty much. Basically, more or less every week through the end.
Mo Bamba's in LA
through the end of the season. Mo Bamba, can we get Mo Bamba on the show?
That should be it. Mo Bamba is right now at practice. Half a mile down the street, I could throw a rock and hit it. Mo Bamba's in town. That's all
I know. We should just bum rush the Lakers practice facility in a hunt of Mo Bamba. Hey,
excuse me. No, LeBron. Is Mo, hey. Mo Bamba here?
You guys want LeBron?
Mo Bamba? AD? No.
We want Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening, all the good stuff. TJ, Adam, Chris.
Later.
I got home.